Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get rolling on a Thursday edition of Sports Daily. Well, I'll tell you what, the dismantling of Tulsa continued last night in about as impressive a fashion as you could probably ever hope for. And as Shane Dennis rolls in to start the day today on Sports Daily, I think you can make the effort or the statement that this was Wichita State's most complete effort for 40 minutes of a game this year, and they've had a few pretty good ones.
You know, if they hadn't let Tulsa creep back into the game at the Reynolds Center first time they met, these two games would probably be tied for the best. They've never trailed Tulsa this year. That's 80 yeah. minutes of either nothing or an early tie or a lead. That's it. And, yeah, there's a lot of ways to go in this one, a lot of people and things to spotlight in this one. But the thing grabbing all the headlines coming into it, and rightfully so, is a couple of things. After Wichita State last beat Tulsa, way back when, seems like a long time ago, Tulsa had won six straight, including one over Houston, and its defense had gotten unbelievably stingy, like right up there with Houston stingy. Those two guys are at the top of the conference and in the nation's leaders in field goal percentage defense and points allowed. Tulsa had only allowed 60 points altogether. Shockers have now eclipsed that total in each of the games and did so last night in pretty short order considering who you're playing. But the thing that I took away, or at least one of them way at the top of the list, is Wichita State's defense. Yeah. Tulsa came in shooting 46% as a team. How they were picked to finish sixth, I'm not sure what that was about. You can have your doubt in Frank Haith. You can have your doubt in their tri-championship that they had last year when they went 13-5. But sixth? Well, anyway, that's maybe a discussion for another day. But, and I know everybody has their game, too, their off game. But nobody from Tulsa could throw the ball in the ocean last night. They were 33.3%. And that's a team that shoots in the 46th percentile. They made 4 of 29 threes. That's putrid. I mean, that's not beating anybody. But the way Wichita State has been playing, and you look at the Shockers' stat line after 11 games, opponents 38.7. So we might just be looking at a team that, if they play like that or close to it, they can go anywhere and have a fighter's chance. And like I said, Tulsa was getting all the headlines, and I don't know if Isaac Brown, you know, challenged his guys or whatever, you know, bulletin board material, and I know it was nothing that Tulsa said, but they were getting all the run for how good their defense is and how tough points would be to come by. Well, the Shockers hung 72 on them, and Tulsa was cold as ice from start to finish.
Yeah, I thought Wichita State's defensive effort was really solid, and I thought their movement offensively was as good as I've seen. 14 assists on 23 baskets. They shared the ball very nicely. Al-Tariq Gilbert had kind of a renaissance game with 13 points and 8 assists. I thought that it started with him. But, I thought it was a really nice blending of defensive pressure. And Tulsa kind of played into their hands because they kept firing threes up, which obviously didn't allow them to get to the basket. And you can bark all you want about only 3 free throws. Maybe Wichita State played with – maybe that's the most impressive part of it.
Their guards
not only did
couldn't
Wichita
get there.
State defend.
They shut up their guards at every turn. They couldn't get to where they wanted to go.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I think I probably look at and say, now that's impressive. If you're playing that kind of defense, you're doing it without fouling, you're keeping their guards away from the basket and their inability to penetrate – then good things are going to happen.
Yep.
Wichita State shot a fairly, I don't want to say pedestrian because I think that this is kind of where this team is, but they shot 41% last night. Okay, fine, right? Fine. But they defended, they rebounded, they did a really nice job in the movement of their offense, and have they been? They've been wire to wire in both games with Tulsa, haven't they? Have they played 80 minutes wire to wire now against Tulsa?
That's correct.
That is. Yep. That's pretty remarkable.
And I think we said on the show. I know I said last night, but I'm pretty sure we said here that if the Shockers went 10 for 26 from long range like they did the first time they played, they'd be in good shape. Well, they were 11 for 29.
Yeah,
almost exactly on that number. Now, they cooled off in the second half, but they were 8 for 17 in the first half, part of the reason why they built that 13-point lead. And we talked about this, too. Tulsa will give up some threes. And if you get three happy and you're not hitting them, you're playing right into their hands. And Shockers fell into that for just a little while in the second half. I think they went Tulsa went on a 12-0 run. Yeah. And really the turning point, and I don't want to pick on Al-Tariq Gilbert, but a huge point in the game was when it was, I think it was 47-30, early second half. Shockers forced a live ball turnover. It was an atomic bomb. Shockers had a run out, and Gilbert was leading the break. And my memory's fuzzy. I'd have to go back and watch it to get the particulars. But it seemed like it was about a 2 or 3-on-1. And it was a little disjointed. Guys were kind of close together, you know. And
yeah,
Gilbert had
spacing.
The ball. Yeah, and it looked like he just flipped the prayer up onto the glass, like from his hip. And I don't know if he was wanting to get the guy spaced out where he could lob one off the backboard and, you know, one of those, like a playground type of dunk, or if he had his mind made up, got up in the air and you know, got trapped or caught. Well, anyway, he threw up a prayer and it wasn't answered, and Tulsa went back down on the other end, got an and one, and that was the beginning of their comeback. And at the, you know, in the midst of that comeback, I was talking to Isaac Brown after the game. He was like, I just got to a point where if you did something stupid, I was going to jerk you out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is the only way Tulsa's going to get back in this. And if you're going to be casual with either with the ball or running your stuff or taking shots, you're coming out of the game. And I thought that was interesting because he had proven that he's really not that guy. He'll go with you. You know, he'll go ahead. You know, these are your minutes. Unless you're blatantly not doing what we want you to do, I'm not going to pull you out after, you know, a bad decision. But he did that last night. He's like, that's enough. Yeah. And he had enough guys over there that he could make it work. And you bring in Monzi Jackson or Ricky Council or Craig Porter before he got injured, you know, you can get away with that stuff. And I think Al-Tariq Gilbert was the catalyst, if you will. And again, I don't want to point out one particular guy, but if they make that layup, they're up 19, and they got the shovel in their hands. As it was, it didn't work out, and Tulsa comes back the other way with an and one, and that led to their comeback, which Wichita State
finally
beat back.
No, you're right, and I incorrectly gave Al-Tariq too many points. He had 5 points with 8 assists and 3 turnovers. I don't mind his line. You know, he didn't shoot the ball particularly well. You're right. I remember that play now that you bring it up. But I did think that generally the offense moved nicely through him. He had that one spin at the top of the arc, and then a penetration where he left it off for Udazi, and I think he dunked.
Yep.
Which was a big time play. I mean, just a big time create. I can beat this guy and draw attention and lay it off. And it was a really, really nice play. And they had a bunch of those last night. Really nice win for Wichita State. Confounding for Tulsa. They've got to wonder about what in the world they've got to do to beat Wichita State, because both games have kind of gone along the same path. Wichita State gets a big lead. Tulsa kind of gets their way back into it. Now, they made it really interesting down in Tulsa. Wichita State, to their credit, was able to kind of stiff-arm them a little bit last night at the Roundhouse and reestablish things. But that's a good basketball team, and it's just one of those things that happen in sports. Kind of hard to explain.
Well, it's hard to go 40 minutes at a really ultimate, you know, premium high level. And when Wichita State stumbled a little bit, there was Tulsa being desperate, you know. But, yeah, you touched on it a second ago. Their shot selection was really iffy the whole game. And I think their guards' inability to break down Wichita State's interior defense, or in some cases to even beat their man to start with, I think rattled them. And Tulsa's do everything – Brandon Rochelle, who leads them in every statistical category.
Yeah, he was awful last night.
Had a nightmare last night.
Yeah, he was awful.
He really was. And he, I don't know how he normally looks when he shoots, but he looked like he was just praying for the ball to go in. I think he even threw up a couple air balls. He was 2 for 15 from the floor.
Yeah.
Had
well, those
seven
three
rebounds.
Starting guards were 3 of 18 from 3-point range. I mean, they just – you touched upon it earlier. I mean, it was one of those, you know, you can't throw it in the ocean standing on the shore nights, and they were – but, you know, you give credit where it's due. Wichita State was good.
Yep.
Wichita State was good defensively.
And the other thing that you can kind of connect to that, Rochelle just being miserably cold, is Dexter Dennis and Wichita State defense as a whole. You know, we lament the fact that Dex is averaging, what are we looking at, eight points a game. Got 88 points in 11 games. But if their best guy is going to end up with 5, that's like Dennis scoring 20, pretty much.
Pretty good trade.
You know?
Pretty good trade.
Yeah,
no, he's still getting a volume of shots, Shane. And you know, you just want to see a few more of them go in, because even if he is 11 or 12 a night, or somewhere in that realm, you're right. He becomes a most valuable player candidate because he's so good on the defensive end, and he takes the other guy generally out of the game. I'd have to go back and look at the last time that a Dexter Dennis, and I'll bet you Taylor Eldridge
probably
knows this.
Yeah, he knows.
He would. But I'd love to know the last time that Dexter Dennis was quote-unquote lit up as a defender. Maybe not. There may not be a time.
Have to go back. I don't know if he guarded Max Asmus with ORU. I can't remember that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Kevin O'Banner's too big for him to guard. But those two guys went off, and Wichita State needed a track meet style game. But after that, it was like it wasn't a Mizzou guy. It wasn't Cade Cunningham. It wasn't anybody at Ole Miss. And I'm just going down my Rolodex here of who he might have guarded and who Wichita State played. Wasn't anybody. It wasn't Rochelle. Well, Rochelle had 17 and 11 last time that they played. So I'm sure Dex had his fair share of Rochelle. But that's basically right at Rochelle's average. He averages 16 before last night. But, yeah, I get your point. Who has gotten theirs when Dexter Dennis is guarding them lately? Not many.
Right.
Not many. And offensively, the slack has been picked up now for, well, the entire season by Tyson Etienne, but for two games in a row by Morris Udeze. You mentioned that,
yeah,
that dunk he had on the feed from Gilbert, one of his eight assists. Morris Udeze is a really interesting study all of a sudden. Now, when he's been on the floor, and this is a caveat because there's some times that he hasn't been able to because he's fouled out three times, and he had a 0.3 rebound showing at Houston. But overall, Mo Udeze is the second leading scorer on the team, shooting 58.5% from the floor. They're all layups and dunks, but hey, credit for,
sure,
for all those layups and dunks. And he's also shooting 82% from the free throw line. That's back-to-back games where he's been pushing 20 points, and he got a career-high 20 and a career equaling 8 rebounds last night, and he was the difference down low in the game. Isaac Brown brought him back in when the lead got whittled down there, and I know Ricky Council had the 3-point play that pushed the lead from 5-8, but Udeze was as big a catalyst as anybody last night for the Shockers, especially offensively.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and he's doing it at 6'8".
They didn't have anybody that could hold him. I don't know for the life of me why Ugbo, their 7-footer, doesn't play more than he does. He started the game, played 2 minutes, didn't see him again. Now, if he got hurt, that's one thing, but Udeze was just bulling guys around down there, and
mm-hmm.
Tulsa didn't have an answer for him.
Yeah, Udeze can get his, and he had 7 looks last night and hit 6 of them, but he played through contact, and that's what got him to the line, and his improvement at the line is remarkable, and he was great last night. In fact, he was the one guy that really shot – well, he got there 9 times.
Yeah.
And he was the one guy that shot free throws well.
Yep. Get the right guy to the line. It's Morris Udeze.
Yeah, no kidding.
Whoever thought we'd say that?
Stroking it with confidence.
Yep, and we talked about this with David McCormick, and they're not the same guys, but they play basically the same position. If you, between your own two ears, are perfectly okay with going to the free throw line, you're that's half the battle for a post player.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't too many of them that stroke it from the free throw line and don't mind getting there, and now Udeze doesn't at all. He was like in the upper 40s last year as a percentage. And Taylor did a nice piece on him and what he did down in Houston during the pandemic and really what all these guys, I'm sure, did or had no excuse not to do is get in the gym, work on your game. I mean, he was working on, you know, going to his left, hundreds of free throws a day, talking about Udeze now, working on his condition, you know, ran and came back a different player. And Isaac Brown noticed it.
Yeah.
And after kind of a slow start against ORU, when he's been on the floor and hasn't fouled, he's really found his footing. He's a guy. He's a dude. He's not just a bit part anymore.
Agreed.
And it's good to see, man.
He has been big for him.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. Just a real good feel good for all the right reasons. Everything that you really wanted and needed to do, short of hitting, you know, a high percentage of free throws, and New Day's Daisy took care of that himself. I mean, there's very little to complain about.
Yep.
And
really, even though they're
impressive,
not shooting a really high percentage free throw wise, I know this will catch up with them if they don't pick it up at least a little bit. Volume, they're making up for it with volume. Shooting more and making more, period. And the fact that They only allowed three free throw attempts last night. It's incredible. Brian Holmgren had a note in the post game that it was the first time, I want to say in 15 years, that an opponent shot that few. No, it was 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Missouri State was one of two. It's taken 9 years for the Shockers to have fouled that few of times and sent the opponent to the free throw line only that many times. All right, we got some overflow if you want, some particular guys we can talk about. You can jump on and tell us what you think. 869-1240. We do have an addition to the show, the old program. Jake Trotter, Cleveland Browns beat reporter for ESPN.com, will join us at 10 o'clock. We'll talk Browns and Chiefs at 10 with Jake. I got the Twitter question coming up. James Harden trade, and apparently Urban Meyer's getting ready to coach the Jaguars with all that draft capital and cap space and all that good stuff. So plenty to get to. A little Shocker overflow. Got a few more thoughts on Wichita State now getting a full week off to get ready for Memphis. Is that a good thing? We'll talk. 869-1240, and you can too. That's What's on Tap, courtesy of Side Pockets.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.